Welcome into the install with Greg Cosell of NFL Films, Buck Rising, your host here for another week. Greg, we've just wrapped up week 15. It feels like games are still going on, but with the way that the NFL is now a daily fixture in our life, they're going to keep things going, try to keep things on track. And certainly this Thursday night football game starting here in Nashville is going to be a fun one.
You know, I think they should just play games every day, Buck, don't you?
It's my COVID guilty pleasure, Greg. Tuesday night football, even if the football's not great, and I'm watching Nick Mullins instead of Case Keenum or Baker Mayfield, I feel like I'm just that addicted to football at this point that I'd take it every day of the week. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I remember Tennessee did play a Tuesday night game last year against Buffalo, which they won handily, and now they have a Thursday nighter, which of course is scheduled. This is not a makeup of any kind, so. We'll see how it goes, but this is a big one. I mean, the 49ers are playing some pretty good football right now.
On both sides of the ball, and we'll talk about that at length. So, I mean, the news that we've just gotten down right now, Greg, is that Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold, they're both going to miss this game, not COVID-related injuries for the both of them. That's a massive blow to an offensive line that cannot sustain already. Nick Bosa and this defensive line are coming to town. Tannehill's already under duress. It's so hard to get anything accomplished as an offense, regardless of injury, if the offensive line can't protect it.
No. And their O-line, in all honesty, and again, you know what I say comes from tape study.
Yeah.
I don't think the O-line has been really good in pass protection anyway.
No.
This is going to be a little bit of an issue. You know, we've talked about a number of things with the Titans offense, and you just have to react to the tape. You know, as the expression goes, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. And this is a team that really struggles to move the ball. They've run the ball a little bit better. I thought Foreman looked better this week. Overall, he's a measured and methodical runner. He's decisive. He did show some short area burst getting downhill. He's not a second gear runner. He's not a juice runner. He's not going to reaccelerate. He's more of a one speed back. Hilliard's a quicker, more explosive runner than Foreman, just not as big, not as suited to be a volume runner in a run first offense. Foreman is more suited to that. The issue, as we've spoken about for it seems weeks, I feel like this is deja vu all over again, is the pass game.
Yeah.
I mean, the longest completion to a wide receiver this past week was 13 yards to Rodgers. The Titans ran 78 plays and they averaged 4 yards a play.
Ugh.
So it's their pass game has been a big problem. I know is AJ Brown going to be able to go?
It seems likely at this point, based on how he handled practice yesterday, and they're going to evaluate him today. They have up in for people listening, they have up until 3 p.m. Central Time on Thursday to officially activate him to the active roster.
I think he's
probably going to go.
He certainly can help, no question.
Yeah.
But you know, one byproduct. Look, they've played 6 games without Derrick Henry now.
Mm-hmm.
And one byproduct has been the lack of any explosiveness in their first down passing game.
Yeah.
Tannehill is 37 for 60. That number in itself is not bad. I'm giving you the first down numbers in the last 6 games.
Right.
But he's only averaged 5.5 yards per attempt. And normally first down is your shot play down, particularly when you're a running team.
Yeah.
And if they can't create anything on first down with any kind of explosive nature in the pass game, it just really condenses their offense. And that's been the case. I mean, this team has had trouble scoring. They've had trouble protecting. You've not seen many on film intermediate or deeper throws down the field. So it's been a tough go.
Well, and I mean, they had one of these first down shot plays drawn up on
the first play of their offense.
Julio Jones. I mean, the conversation here locally is totally different.
If
Dontrell Hilliard's able to help on the interior pressure, Aaron Brewer lets Chris Wormley go by him, and instead of a 70-yard touchdown pass, it's an eight-yard loss on a sack.
Well, what happened? Yes, I mean, first of all, Brewer, the left guard, and I assume he will play left guard again.
Yeah, that's your boy.
Yeah. What happened was Wormley basically beat him to the outside, And Brewer looked like he might recover and maybe he could push him past the quarterback. But then what happened is Hilliard off the run action kind of bumped Brewer.
Yeah.
And I know you saw this. He bumped Brewer, and the result was that Brewer lost leverage and control on Wormley, and then Wormley was able to truly beat Brewer on the outside, and he sacked Tannehill. But you're right. Jones, from his reduced split, quickly got on top of Cam Sutton, an old Tennessee corner, and it was there. They called a shot play on the first play of the game, and it was there to be made. And then the only other play where you could talk about, and maybe it changes things, was the one where Westbrook Ahene missed, you know, dropped the fade ball. You know, that's the ball he's got to catch.
Yeah. They had another one of those to Westbrook Ahene, but he was covered. And then they had another one that they tried to Cody Hollister at some points in the game. So Tannehill's trying to get these passing plays down the field. It's just they don't have the personnel to execute them right now. Although it is worth noting for people listening to this, Julio Jones was a full participant at whatever version of practice they had today, and he did not have an injury designation, so he is expected to be able to go as well.
It's a shame. I mean, it seems like he can't finish a game, though. It's a shame.
Well, and it doesn't sound like Tannehill's going to have much time to get the ball to either AJ or Julio if they're out there together. But
who will be the starting left tackle?
Probably Kendall Lamb. He's been who fills in for Taylor Lewan.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not Dylan Raidens.
No, and this is, again, I'm not one who believes that a rookie, if he doesn't play or play well, is a bust because he's a rookie and he came from a smaller school. So we'll see how his career goes, but I'm not one to say that it was a bad pick or that he's a bust. I think that's unrealistic and unreasonable.
Yeah, I just I think that there's an overwhelming frustration, certainly from fans, because there's a second round pick who can't dress unless somebody gets hurt.
Correct.
But at this point, we have no idea what he's going to be.
And I understand that. And I understand it from a fan perspective, but you can't say that he's a bust coming from North Dakota State. And, you know, let's say he turns out next year, the year after, to be a really, really good player, then you'd have to say it's a good draft choice. Now, we don't know what's going to happen one way or the other, but I think you have to wait and see.
Microwave society, Greg. I still got people screaming at me that Golden Tate should play instead of Julio Jones. But, you know, these are conversations for another day.
Where's Jake Locker when you need him?
You know, hunting and fishing with nowhere football nowhere in sight, 1,000%. Right, right. So it'll be strength on strength, Greg, in this game. The 49ers rushing attack versus a Titans defense that's playing as well as humanly possible right now, no matter how many bad spots they've been dropped into. I mean, this scheme is so fundamentally sound for San Francisco, and they find ways to get production out of the rushing game, no matter who it seems is going to run the ball.
Yeah, and they start with outside zone. That's their foundation. It doesn't mean they only run outside zone, but that's their foundation.
Yeah.
And the way they teach that is they want to take the edge. They will take the edge unless you take it away. And then they teach their backs to work one gap back inside at a time. So if you take away the edge, the back just works back inside one gap at a time. That's the way they teach it. They're really good at it. We know they've added Samuel as a meaningful part of their run game. They use him both in the shotgun and as an eye back. He's a powerful runner. He is a big man and a powerful runner.
Yeah.
I don't know what Elijah Mitchell's status will be for this week, but out. Jeff Wilson, he's out for sure.
He's out. Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Wilson, you know, I believe it or well, you would believe this and maybe the people listening would, but I watched Jeff Wilson in college. Okay. I believe he went to North Texas. And I watched his tape coming out. And I actually thought he was a really intriguing player, some ways like Elijah Mitchell, who came from a smaller school as well. And Wilson, when he got an opportunity a year ago before he got hurt, he played against New England and he had, I think, 22 carries for 121 yards and actually got a high ankle sprain late in that game. But every time he's been given an opportunity to have meaningful carries, he has produced. And I can tell you for a fact, because I know some on that coaching staff, that they view him as a tough SOB, that he pass protects, he can catch the ball, he's mentally tough and physically tough. He's just not 225 pounds. But they are very, very comfortable with Jeff Wilson being their foundation back.
Well, and they get so much out of that offensive line. Trent Williams still at a high level. Alex Mack is playing great football right now. They find so many different ways and with such a diverse running scheme to attack opposing defenses. But Debo, I mean, he's got 7 rushing touchdowns as a wide receiver this year, Greg. And it doesn't seem to matter where they line him up. You never know what's coming because of all the window dressing and misdirection that they like to use.
I'll tell you one thing that, you know, and again, every coach deals with this differently, so I do not know how Mike Vrabel and Bowen and will handle this.
Yeah.
But the Niners use motion more than any team in the league. And you have to decide how you want to react to that. Some teams react to motion and make adjustments. Some teams just, they line up in their defense, and you know what? They say to you, you can motion all day long. This is our defense, and we don't care. Yeah. I don't know how Tennessee will choose to play that. But that is a major part of what happens this week in practice, is how they decide they want to handle motion, because the Niners motion someone a higher percentage of any team in the league.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch this game. And they've done so well at keeping Jimmy G, you know, operating efficiently within their scheme. And honestly, it reminds me just the way that they, you know, use him in the passing game. It reminds me a lot of Tannehill last year, where if he doesn't get more than 25 attempts, it's fine because they find ways to make efficient use of those passing attempts.
Every quarterback is a schemed quarterback because that's how it's taught.
Right.
But Jimmy G is classic in the sense that he's incredibly rhythmic and timing based. The longer he's in the pocket, the less efficient he is. So with him, they need the scheme, that is, the route concepts, the route combinations, needs to present a defined read and throw to him within the timing of his drop, whether it's 3-step, 5-step, 7-step, because he can't sit there. He's not that guy. And while he's not immobile, he's really a pure pocket quarterback. He's not going to make many plays outside of structure, either running or moving to his right or left and throwing. He's a pure timing and rhythm thrower. And when their offense is clicking, he gets the ball out and it looks really good. Everything looks like it has a purpose.
Yeah. And they've won their last 2 games largely as a result of that. And they're 8-6 on the season. And averaging about 29 points per game.
Keep one thing in mind. In those, a number of those wins, not in all of them, but in a number of them, Jimmy Garoppolo's thrown less than 30 balls.
Right.
I mean, he's thrown 25, 22, 19, 26. This is not a team that just drops back and tosses it around. If a game dictates they need to do that, Kyle Shanahan will certainly call that. But that is not their MO. Jimmy, in an ideal world, Jimmy Garoppolo, he will drop back probably 25 to 28 times in a game. And that's the way they want to play.
A matchup I'm really interested to watch, Greg, is at this point, they will play and they will start Zach Cunningham and Rashawn Evans at inside backer. Kevin Byard, obviously, doing such a good job for them at safety this year. And then they have across from them this week, George Kittle, who's as good a weapon as any in the NFL. I don't know necessarily. We don't have any idea necessarily at how they'll play Kittle right now, but they do have some interesting ways to kind of match up with him. How big of a problem does Kittle present to defenses across the board and what he can do?
Well, Kittle is probably the most complete tight end in the league. Kittle is because of his blocking ability.
He loves it. He's an insane person.
Yeah. I mean, and because of that, sometimes people forget that he is a 3-level receiver, short, intermediate, and vertical. You know, he can attack vertically as well. He can run vertical routes. He's not just a big guy who blocks and catches, 8-yard balls.
Right.
So the question is, how much man coverage will the Titans play? They haven't played a ton of man. They've done a lot of zone concepts, and they've done a lot of late movement, which I think you'll see a lot, disguise and late movement, particularly in third down situations or second and long situations, to do what I said before, to try to get Jimmy Garoppolo to sort of have to think as he's dropping and then perhaps hold the ball in the pocket where his efficiency drops. So I think that's what you'll see a lot of, as opposed to a lot of man coverage. I don't think they have a good man. Well, they certainly can put Byard on Kittle. Byard is their tight end matchup normally when they do play man. But we'll see how much man they decide to play.
And Byard traditionally has held up well in man coverage, but it's not an easy task for anybody to go up against Kittle. So with this Niners defense, Greg, you know, we know the Titans struggles on offense. We know what Nick Bosa is. Fred Warner is one of the most dynamic inside linebackers in football right now. What's kind of the 49ers defensive identity?
They're probably more front four based than they are blitz. You know, they'll blitz on occasion, but they're not a heavy blitz team. They're not a high percentage man team either. This will be a team that plays an awful lot of zone. They also play a lot of cover too. But they've been able to get pressure with their down four. You mentioned Bosa. We don't need to spend a lot of time on him. He's clearly one of the two or three best edge rushers in the league. But they've gotten really good play recently from Arden Key, who you remember from LSU, whose body type is totally different, you know, now that he's in the NFL for a number of years. Yeah. I remember him in LSU. He was kind of a long, sinewy guy. Remember that, Buck?
No, they got him in an NFL strength training program. They got him right.
Yeah, without question. He's not long and sinewy anymore. And they've got Ebukam, who's done a pretty nice job as well as a pass rusher. Armstead, who in years past lined up both outside and inside, is now almost exclusively an inside player. Mm-hmm. Fred Warner is one of the top two or three linebackers in this league, plays every down, and in every package. So this is a pretty good defense. You know, their issue has been at corner, and the question is, can the Titans exploit that issue? Because the corner has been the big issue. They've had a ton of injury. They played Josh Norman in one corner. They've been figuring out the other corner. They have played Deontay Johnson. They've played the rookie Ambry Thomas, a third-round pick out of Michigan, who's quite frankly had a hard time. So that's where they are weak, and you'd like to be able to attack that. And hopefully A.J. Brown plays, and they see that as an area to exploit.
Josh Norman probably breathing a sigh of relief, because the last time he saw the Titans, Derrick Henry was in the backfield, and it didn't necessarily go well for the
Bills. No, I
remember.
I believe he was the recipient of a stiff arm, as I recall.
There was a stiff arm doled out, and it was for a play that didn't even count. But Mike Vrabel still calls it the best six-yard run that never counted in NFL history.
I think I remember it pretty well.
And Josh Norman probably does too. So it's going to be an interesting game on Thursday Night Football. Personnel will continue to see the A.J. Brown status. You know, obviously at the time of this podcast, he is unavailable to them, but it does seem trending positively for the Titans star wide receiver.
The bottom line point is this. If they cannot stop the 49ers run game, if the 49ers can control the pace and tempo of this game running the football, it will be difficult, because then they're – What happens when an offense, and this is why when people talk about the run game not being important, I don't think they mean that it's not important. But if a team controls the pace and tempo of a game running the ball, there's an impatience that settles in on the opposing offense, because they feel like the possessions are getting shorter. Now, if you have a great, great quarterback, I remember teams used to say this about Peyton Manning, well, you want to keep him off the field. But Peyton was so mentally tough that there were games he would have nine possessions, which in an NFL game is very few, Buck, as you know.
Right.
But he would score touchdowns on five of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it didn't matter that he had nine. They'd still score 35 points. But that's not normal. He was one of those guys. What starts to happen is you just start to feel like time is getting away from you. And with the inability to make explosive plays, which unfortunately has been the Titans' MO over the last 5-6 weeks without Derrick Henry, then it becomes even more of a burden, because you can't make it up. And it's very hard in this league, because there is a correlation between explosive pass plays and scoring. And if you can't create explosive pass plays, your scoring drops. Just look what happened last week against Pittsburgh.
No, I mean, we all sat there in the press box at Heinz Field looking at each other like there is zero chance that the Titans can go down the field down six after holding the lead almost the entirety of the game and score a touchdown right now. They can't move the ball.
Right, and especially when you know that there's not going to be a 50-yard play.
Yeah. It is worth noting that the Titans defense has given up 43 total rushing yards in the last two games, but of course we know that comes against the Jags and the Steelers, who have offensive line issues of their own. respectively. Greg, I know the matchup show is going to have a lot of different things to work through with all the different games coming up this weekend. Yeah. Is Cardinals-Colts a part of your rundown?
Cardinals-Colts is in the show because that's the Saturday night special, I believe.
That is correct. I think that's a fascinating game for a great many reasons. Yes. What kind of interests you about this game?
Well, we certainly know what the Colts are on offense. We know that it starts with Jonathan Taylor. The Cards have struggled a bit against the run. The Cards, like many teams in the NFL, this has become a trend. The Cards are a 5-2 front. People used to say 3-4, but it's really a 5-2. And at times they will put a sixth defender on the line of scrimmage, so it's a six-man front. And you will see that in this game without question. Obviously, Carson Wentz has always been an easy target for people, and he did not play well in the last game. But for the most part, he's been solid this year. You know, the sense from the social media group out there is that if he has to make throws, he's not going to make them. We'll see. I thought in watching the Cards offense this week against Detroit, and I got to tell you, I give Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, who's their first year D coordinator, I give them a ton of credit, Buck, because they were playing with guys that had never played positions before. They were playing with street free agents. And you know what they said? They said, the hell with it. Let's play man coverage and let's blitz. And you know what? Let's see what happens. What the hell? We're not making it to the playoffs anyway, so let's go out and play football. And they gave the Cards all kinds of problems.
Yeah, it was crazy to watch. I got an opportunity to watch the condensed version after the fact because I didn't see that game live. But I mean, Dan Campbell, it's cool to see just the kind of it's genuine belief that he seems to have in who he has on his roster and that they're going to give their best effort every time. And they're playing with house money after that first win.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2-2-1 in their last five games, by the way. They're a competitive football team. And they were playing with Walt Harris, who was a safety at Boston College and has been a safety in the NFL. He was their right corner. And they played a decent amount of man coverage. They did not back off. So now, obviously, if it didn't work, people would have said, they're idiots. You know how that goes. But I'm more of a process person. And I think the process probably was, you know what? Screw it. Let's go out and play some football. Let's be aggressive. You know, get the defense excited to play because defense, you know, just like offensive linemen want to run block, I think defensive guys want to play forward. They don't want to sit back in zones and, you know, they want to attack. They want to be proactive. And I think that's what they did. And the Cards had all kinds of problems. Kyler Murray was not sharp. His ball placement was not real precise, which is, by the way, a problem he's had less this year, but a problem that he had in his first 2 years. So that game's very, very interesting. Now, Murray is one of those guys, as you know, Buck, because he can make special improvisational plays that any given week he can do that, and it can change games. So having said what I just said, sure, can he run around and make some great plays? Absolutely. He can do that any week.
Yeah. You talk to offensive line coaches all the time, and they'll tell you earn the right to run, right? So Dan Campbell kind of going about that with his defense. You earn the right to get after the quarterback.
And by the way, they ran the ball really well against Arizona.
They did. That was the most surprising thing, Greg, because I think people are sleep, and maybe not people in the football world, but I think the vast majority of football consumers are sleeping on just how good the Cards defense has been and how big an upset that was.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it was a game, and this is a game that will be very interesting to see how the Cards come out, because they were physically beaten on both sides of the ball. It wasn't just like a tactic. Oh, they got beat on a couple of big plays. You know, those things happen in games. Sometimes you just get beat on a big play. Either it's a scheme or a player gets beat. And while you're not happy about it, you understand that, hey, these things happen. But they were out physical on both sides of the ball. So it'll be very interesting to see how they come out this week against a Colts team that, by the way, is very physical on both sides of the ball.
Both sides, absolutely. Yeah. Greg, what's the schedule for the matchup show this week? Because there's a lot of football going around.
Yeah, no, well, actually, I'm glad you asked, Buck, and I appreciate it. I don't know the times immediately offhand, but we have three airings just on Saturday morning, because with Saturday games, we're doing those two Saturday games. So obviously, we can air on Sunday morning. Unless we weren't going to do the Saturday games, but the Saturday games are important. So
critical,
correct. So we have three airings Saturday morning. So people should just press, you know, the blue button on their remote, say NFL matchup, it'll show up when it airs, and they can DVR it and watch it. But it's three Saturday morning airings.
Set your DVR, like Greg just said. Hit the mic button on your remote control. The TVs are smarter than we are to get you the NFL matchup show. It'll put it in your DVR every week so you can pregame with the best in the business. Greg, I appreciate the time as always. I'm looking forward to the football game. I have no idea what it's going to look like. It could be ugly again, but you know, there will be a football game played.
No, I'm looking forward to the Titans and the 49ers. I think, you know, assuming nothing else happens, you know, between now and Thursday night, I think that this could be a fascinating game.
All I know about this season, Greg, is that I assume nothing anymore.
Right. And that well, it ends that's probably up paying smart. Dividends. Yeah, that's probably smart the way it's going.
Thanks, buddy. I'll see you next week.
All right, Buck, appreciate it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.